Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're going to take a classic think break and turn it into a jungle-style switch-up inside Ableton Live 12. The goal here is not just to chop a loop for the sake of it. We want something that feels intentional, rhythmic, and old-school. Something that can sit at the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar phrase, lead into a drop, or give a second drop a fresh burst of energy, without sounding random. That's the big idea. One break, sliced and rearranged so it feels like a real D&B edit. Start by loading your think break onto an audio track. Find a section that already has a solid kick and snare relationship. Don't pick the most chaotic part of the sample straight away. You want a part with enough groove to survive slicing. A classic jungle edit usually comes from a section where the snare has character, the kicks have some body, and the hats have enough texture to keep moving once you cut them apart. What to listen for here is simple. Does the snare cut through without needing loads of processing? And does the kick have enough low mid weight to anchor the pattern? If the answer is yes, you've got a good starting point. Next, turn warp on if you need to line the break up with your project tempo. Keep it simple. The aim is to preserve the feel of the break, not flatten it into something sterile. If the timing is already pretty close, don't overcorrect it. That little bit of human bounce is part of the jungle sound. Why this works in D&B is because the break is often the human element inside an otherwise machine-tight arrangement. If you overwarp it, you lose that tension. You lose the character that makes old-school D&B feel alive. Now slice the break into playable hits. In Ableton Live 12, the easiest beginner move is to slice the audio into a drum rack or use the slice workflow so each hit becomes its own pad or slot. You're looking for kicks, snares, ghost notes, little hat fragments, and any lean noise that can help the groove move forward. Don't worry if every slice isn't perfect. You do not need every transient isolated like a surgeon's experiment. You just need enough usable pieces to build a strong switch up. A really useful habit here is to duplicate the track or save a version before you start building the edit. That way, you can try a different idea without rebuilding the whole thing from scratch. In D&B, quick versioning saves time and keeps the creative momentum going. Now start with one bar. Don't overcomplicate it yet. Build the edit around the snare first, then support it with kicks and smaller movement hits. In jungle, the snare is the anchor. If the snare loses authority, the whole thing starts sounding like a chopped loop instead of a proper break edit. A good beginner approach is to keep the main snare strong on a backbeat, then add one or two ghost notes before or after it. Drop in a kick pickup leading into the snare if it helps the bar feel like it's rolling forward. Leave a little space as well. Bass matters. In jungle, space is part of the bounce. What to listen for here is whether the snare still feels like the center of the bar. If the bar is full of tiny hits but the snare no longer feels important, you've gone too far. Remove a few sounds before you add more. That's often the difference between a cool edit and a messy one. Once the pattern is working, shape it with a basic stock device chain. A solid starting point is a QA to clear out unnecessary low rumble, drum bus to add some drive and transient focus, and saturator for a bit of extra grime. Keep it subtle. You are adding attitude, not crushing the break. A gentle cut below around 30 to 40 Hz is usually a good move to keep sub rumble out of the way. If the break feels boxy, a small dip around 200 to 400 Hz can help. And if the top end is fighting your hats or cymbals, soften a little of that brightness rather than flattening the whole sample. Why this works in D&B is because the break needs to sit with a subby bass line and still feel punchy. Drum bus can bring forward the snap. Saturator can add the grit that suits darker music, and EQ keeps the break from masking the low end. If the snare starts losing punch after processing, back off the drive before you reach for more compression. That's a classic beginner trap. In this style, too much squash kills the energy fast. At this point, decide what flavor you want. If you want a rawer jungle vibe, leave more ghost notes in, keep a little unevenness, and let the break feel slightly unruly. If you want a tighter roller feel, clean up the busiest fragments and tighten the important hits more closely to the grid. Neither one is better. It just depends on the track. A raw version feels more old school and urgent. A tighter version sits better in a modern heavy mix. If you can, make both. That gives you options later in the arrangement. Now fine-tune the groove by ear. Keep the main snare close to the grid, but don't be afraid to nudge ghost notes a tiny bit early or late. Those tiny shifts can completely change the pocket. Let the lighter hits breathe a little. You want movement, not robotic precision. What to listen for now is how the break behaves with the bass line. Loop it with your kick and sub and ask yourself, does the snare still cut through, or is it disappearing into the low end? If it feels flat, the fix is usually not more slices. It's often a better placement of the existing hits. Sometimes one small timing adjustment gives you more energy than adding 5 extra chops. If the think break feels too thin on its own, you can reinforce it with a simple snare or kick layer from your own kit. Keep that layer short and punchy. No long tail, no huge stereo spread, no extra clutter. The idea is support, not replacement. A clean way to think about the chain is this: break first grit for a rougher, dirtier feel, or cleaner punch control if the track needs the break to stay locked under a heavy bass arrangement. Either way, keep the core kick and snare centered. In club playback, that mono-safe core is what gives the edit its power. One really important beginner check is to mute everything except the break and the sub or kick. If the switch-up still feels musical in that stripped-down state, it's strong. If it only works when the hats, FX, and bass are all playing, then the edit is probably leaning too much on masking. Now think about arrangement, because this is where the switch-up really earns its place. Don't leave it running the same way for too long. Put it at a phrase boundary. End of 8 bars. End of 16 bars. Right before the drop. Or as a second drop variation to stop the track from looping in place. That placement matters a lot in DNB. The listener expects change at those moments, and the drum edit gives them that change without needing a whole new full pattern. You can also automate a few small moves to add impact. A little filter movement on EQ8 can help build tension. A slight increase in drum bus drive in the final bar can make the phrase feel more aggressive. A tiny reverb throw on one snare hit can add depth, as long as you pull it back quickly. Keep those moves short and purposeful. The best switch-ups feel like punctuation, not a long effects demo. A useful structural shape is to start a little more open, build motion in the middle, peak toward the third bar, then create a bit of space in the final bar so the drop lands with more force. That final bar doesn't always need to be the busiest one. Sometimes a slightly stripped ending gives the incoming bass more room to hit. And here's a very practical tip. Commit earlier than you think. Once you've got a version that makes you nod and clearly feels like a jungle transition, print it, freeze it, or bounce it and move on. Endless micro-editing can flatten the character right out of it. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't slice every transient and use all of them. That kills hierarchy. Don't overwarp the break until it sounds artificial. Don't let the low end fight your sub. Don't make the snare too weak. And don't pile on compression too early. Light processing first, then refine. If you want the darker, heavier edge, control the top end carefully. A small cut in the harsh band can keep the break dark without removing the air completely. And if you want width, keep it on texture layers, not on the core kick and snare. The main impact should survive in mono. Here's the mindset that helps most. Build one strong bar, then duplicate it and change just one thing at a time. Maybe a ghost note moves. Maybe the final snare gets a tiny throw. Maybe one slice is removed for more space. That way, you can actually hear whether each change improves the phrase. For your quick practice, try building a 4-bar think break switch up using only one think break source and only Ableton stock devices. Keep the main snare clearly audible in every bar. Use no more than 8 sliced hits per bar. At EQ8, drum bus, and saturator only. Then make one version rawer and one version tighter. Finish with one automation move in the final bar. If you want a stronger challenge, make a 4-bar pre-drop moment that feels convincing even with the bass muted. If the break still sounds like a real DNB phrase on its own, you've done the job properly. So the recap is this. Slice the think break into playable hits. Keep the snare as the anchor. Use a few ghost notes for motion, add light stock processing for grit and punch, and place the switch up where the arrangement actually needs it. That's how you get a break edit that feels intentional, energetic, and properly old school. Now go build the first version. Keep it simple and trust the groove. Once the snare is landing hard and the bar feels like it wants to loop, you're on the right path.